build our habits, and then our habits build us. Habits are tricky things in life. They grew up around us. They grew up with us. And it may be that you're still repeating habits from your adolescence or from last year. Many of them may serve you well, and others not so much. My name is Dr. Randy Carlson, and I am live here in the Intentional Living Center. That's a habit. I've been pretty good at that, showing up when I should. And along with Jennifer and Stephen, they got a good habit as well. And we're here to talk about habits and to really, I think in the next 28 minutes, really share some powerful lessons on how habits are formed. How do you break habits? Are habits just human or are they spiritual? How do they impact our life? And what do you do with the habits that aren't working for you? Again, Randy Carlson, and you're welcome to join in. I'll tell you what we're going to do here. We just want to talk about what are some habits that have helped you maybe to be more intentional, habits that you've replaced in your life that's helped you be more intentional in your marriage, your family. Give us a call. You can join in the discussion at 888-1717, 888-1717. We're not alone on this thing of habits and how difficult and sometimes deadly they can be. Even the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote so many of the New Testament books in the Bible, right? He just admitted, that's one of the things I love about Scripture. He just lays it out in Romans 7. He said, look, I don't really understand myself for what I want to do, I don't do. Instead, I do what I hate. Now, I don't know what that, he didn't go on to elaborate what all that meant, but I think it's probably a sense of just the humanness of how we can slide into doing things, habits in our life that really are not helpful to us, not always destructive or, you know, going to destroy our life, but they're just not helping us live every day intentionally for Christ. And I just say, Paul, give me a high five because I don't understand myself either. I think we all struggle with this. So I want to share some things about habit formation, how it develops, and give you some strategies that may be helpful to you. You're welcome to join in. What have you learned? What's a habit that's been helpful to you in your life? Just a really practical thing. I don't know. It could be a simple thing, but maybe it's been transformational as well. 888-1717. I was thinking coming in the studio today, my wife and I have a few habits. One is we started, I don't know, a few years ago. I don't remember how it started. We just said, you want to go for a walk every morning. We got up and we went for a walk. And we started out for a few blocks and then a mile and 2 miles. We're walking at least 2 miles every day. And one of the things that I think that makes that work is we do it together. If it was all left up to me, just for me to go out and walk by myself, and Donna's not doing, I don't know. You know, so sometimes having a habit that is reinforced with people that can support you is a positive thing. Going to church, yeah, that's a habit. We do it because we honor God, but it's a habit too. It's Sunday morning. And in our church, with three services, it's like, you want to go to 8, 9:30, or 11? And we've been going to 8 o'clock, and we're really proud of ourselves getting up so early to get there at 11. We can get a parking place that way. So that's a habit. And this is a simple thing. I don't need any pats on the back. I was telling Jennifer, but I don't know, about a year ago, I got up one morning. Donna's always made the bed at home. She's always, I don't know, she does a beautiful job. She takes care of the house. She's really good at that. I got up one morning and said, I think I'll make the bed. And I got up the next morning and I thought I made the bed. And I think at the initial stage, I was doing this to get some I love you from my wife, which she did. But now here a couple, it's something, it's a habit. I got to get up and make the bed every morning. And in fact, on the days that Donna makes the bed, because I'm out or whatever, I have to go in and check and make sure it's done right, Jennifer. What do you think about that?
I think it's amazing. And okay. My husband can take tips.
Okay. And the pillows, I got a thing about, I know it's a little obsessive, but I got a thing about them being aligned perfectly with each other. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, all right. But I have some ones I should get rid of, like eating cereal at 10 o'clock at night, or when I'm bored, I eating snacks. And I always blame my mother. I think it started when I was a kid, because I think sometimes these habits grow up. But you know, here's some things about habits. Habits are sticky. They're sticky, and they need to be, because habits are essential to a good life. What I mean by that is, think about if you had no habits. You didn't have a habit on how to tie a shoe. You didn't have a habit on how to brush your teeth. You didn't have a habit on riding a bike, driving a car, getting dressed. All the things the little kids are trying to learn and stumbling, and you're helping them. Life would be exhausting just getting up and getting through the day. And so habits are positive, but the problem is, in the process of developing habits, which are neutral, by the way, the habit doesn't care if it's a good habit or bad habit. It's just going to stick because we repeat it. It's learned and therefore can be unlearned. Habits can be good and habits can be bad and destructive in our life. And there are four things that create this process of habits in our life. And there's a spiritual application to this. There's a verse in the book of James I'm going to read in a moment that just lays this out flat when it comes to understanding how destructive the wrong kind of habits can be. All right. We got some callers ready. We'd like to have you join in. Tell us what habits, maybe some habits you've developed that have been intentional and positive for you. Small things that made a difference. You just said, hey, I'm doing this. Give us a call. Why? Because it's going to help others to see, hey, we can make some changes in our life. This is intentional living for God's glory and for your benefit. 888-888-1717. Lucero in New Mexico left this comment as she was thinking about habits and how it can be damaging in your life. Take a listen.
I think one of my bad habits is using the internet. These past few days I've been in the internet a lot, and I'm just been wasting time that I could be like reading the Bible or hearing a preacher preaching, because I have some tapes from my pastor, and instead of that I'm in the computer watching YouTube and funny videos, and I just get my time wasted and I don't get anything at all, like anything that can help me. So I'm going to try to break that habit already, because it's not right. It's not right, because I should be focused on God, on Jesus, and instead of that, I'm in the computer hours and hours, and I've been wasting a lot of time. So I'm going to try to break that habit and not be like that anymore.
Mm. All right. I hear your heart, Lucero, and like many of us, we have that that excitement or that passion or decision that we're going to change a habit, and then we get about 2 days down and we just fail. We fail. Because, like I said, habits are sticky, and I'll tell you, the longer they build themselves around you, the harder it is to break. And I think we all have to ask the question about this thing. I'm holding up my cell phone, right? We all have to ask ourselves, has that become a habit, a dependency, or an addiction in our life? Which can be true of lots of things in our life. Now, when we think about habits, here's how, let me just give a real quick lesson, psychology lesson on how habits are formed. Habits are formed around cravings. In other words, there's things that we really desire, things that we want in our life, either good or bad, frankly, and those desires can be very destructive. Listen to what James says in James 1:14. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us. That's a powerful word. There's that sense of enticement, isn't it? With, you know, you're driving home and then you're enticed to stop through a drive-through and eat something you shouldn't eat, or look at something you shouldn't look at, or say something you shouldn't say, or allow your emotions to express themselves in a way that'll be damaging. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. It's like that, isn't it? You ever feel like that way with a habit? It's like, I don't know how, that was really stupid. Why did I do that? Why did I do that yesterday and the day before and the day before that? Or why didn't I do that? We're enticed, we got desires, and we're dragged away. And then James really hits us right in the head here. He says, these desires give birth to sinful actions. Wow. So we're talking about habits that can become sinful in our life. And then he says, and when sin is allowed to grow up in our life, it gives birth to death. It gives birth to death. Boy, and it could be death in a relationship, in your happiness, relationship with Christ. So cravings are at the center of this thing. Desires are at the center of it. And so as a Christian, one of the things we have to do is say, Lord, change my desires. Because it's interesting, the research shows that when we tie our identity to a habit, it sticks better. They suggest, for instance, that instead of saying I'm trying to quit smoking, I'm telling myself I am not a smoker. I'm identifying with a group of people who are not smokers. And I think a practical application of that would be in our Christian walk would be to say, you know what? It's not that I'm trying to quit something, got a good intention, as opposed to say, because I'm a Christian, because I'm a follower of Christ, this is how I will respond. This is how I will behave. We tie our identity in Christ to our behavior in the practicality of our daily life. Boy, I got a lot more here. We're going to take your calls. Love to have you join in. 888-888-1717 to be a part of the show, like Margie has from Kansas. Hi, Margie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. I appreciate your call. How's habits been positive in your life?
Yeah, so the habit that I switched up was I just was notorious for going straight to my phone first thing in the morning, and that really dictated my attitude towards my children, just towards the day. And ever since I broke that habit and I don't go straight for my phone, I at least give myself the time to be alone, just be quiet with God for a little bit, has absolutely affected and changed my life.
Interesting. How long did it take for that to become not just a, I've got to do this or I'm going to do this, to, boy, if I don't do it, I'm going to ruin my day?
I honestly just noticed it within the first couple of days of doing it, how greatly it affected my, when I pull out my phone first, my patience for my children just goes way down. And so I just got in the habit where I realized I have to not touch my phone. I have to put that away because it changes my whole household attitude. Yeah. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, plus your phone will still be there later, right?
Yeah.
It'll still be calling your name later. It's not going away. First thing, okay, Margie says, hey, I'm starting my day out differently. I'm developing a habit, have developed a habit, spend some time with God first thing every morning in His Word and prayer. And we'll let the phone show up later. That's a question. What one habit could make a difference in your life? All right. Thank you, Margie from Kansas. Terry in California. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Terrific. Terrific. Appreciate your call. What's a habit that's been helping you?
An attitude of gratitude. Just being thankful for the things that God has given me.
Does that come naturally to you?
It hasn't been that way all along. No.
Yeah.
Somewhat foreign at times. Just dealing with a lot of different things. And my husband has Alzheimer's. Mm. My son passed away a couple of years ago. And all of that's been really hard.
Yeah.
And just understanding that God's got me, and not only me, but all of our family. We ask for a hedge of protection around all of our family and friends, including our exes and their spouse, and their spouses every day. And that just kind of puts things more in perspective, and just, I don't know, changes things.
Yeah. I think you do know, and you've expressed it well to us, Terry, because life can be hard. It can be really crummy. Let's just face it. Some days are just crummy, and weeks and months, and sometimes a stage in life, and learning to be thankful, making that a habit. The Bible says taking captive every thought out of obedience to Christ, that's a habit. Paul says Philippians 4, whatever's right, pure, admirable, praiseworthy, of good report, think on such things. That's a habit. Paul loved to talk about the mind. He did in Romans. He said, hey, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. In the spirit of your minds. It's powerful. Good things. All right. Thank you for sharing that. Love to have you join in. What's a habit that's making a difference in your life? 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
All right, number five, we're going through this list of 10 things to grow through change. Number five is measure it. Why do I want to measure change? Probably most of you have a scale in your home, don't you? Do you ever stand on it, or have you gotten discouraged? I don't know, but but measuring it, you know, we measure some things, don't we? We measure change. Have you ever opened up your photo album from your family and looked at a picture of yourself from 20 years ago? And then you see yourself, you know, today, and you all maybe just don't notice any changes, but one of the leadership principles that leaders teach is that what gets measured gets done. Power of measurement, that's true. That's an excerpt from the lesson this month. Thinking about my grandchildren, they look at the photo album from the past and they'll say, "Is that you?" I mean, come on. In another universe, that was you maybe, right? Okay, we're talking about habits. Couple things about habits. Most habits are a problem because there's a trigger associated to them. What I mean is there's triggers that set off a response that we don't like. Maybe it's a time of day, a person, a name, an experience, attitude, whatever. Have you ever noticed that there are certain things that precede the habit that you have that you either like or don't like that triggers you? And that's why part of the reason we can develop good habits is by putting in new triggers. Maybe first thing in the morning, boom, that's a trigger. I'm going to get up and pray, just like Margie said. I'm going to get into God's word. Or maybe every time I see my spouse, I'm going to say something encouraging to them. That becomes a trigger in a positive way. And so triggers are important. And then have those cravings develop to say, hey, I really crave my relationship with Christ, my spouse, and my family so much that my desire is to be triggered in a positive way to build habits that will reinforce that relationship. See? I love what Warren Buffett said. Boy, a lot of years of wisdom with this guy, right? Warren Buffett said, "Chains of habit are too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken." And that's true. And it's kind of like nip it in the bud, right? That's what the scripture's teaching us. Some of you old timers remember Andy of Mayberry TV show? Jennifer's giving me a blank stare. You give me a blank stare, Jennifer. Andy of Mayberry.
Oh.
Barney Fife.
Yes, I remember.
Oh,
that.
No, you don't remember it. He always used to say, "You got to nip it in the bud."
I can't whistle anymore.
Okay.
But I do know the show.
All right. I'm showing our age here. All right. Talking about habits, let's go to Hunt in Arizona. Hi, Hunt. You sound like.
How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. You sound like you're flying a jet across the street here.
I'm on the freeway going to work.
Oh, all right. Well, go right ahead.
I work for Synergy Home Health Care. My habit is about 4 years ago, I started praying while on the freeway because we live in Phoenix and we have about a 25-mile one-way drive to our clients. We work for Synergy Home Health Care. So we each drive different freeways.
Are you still there? All right, I think we lost Hunt there. Signals when you're driving. All right, you can join in, 888-888-1717. I tell you what, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The world's changing and it can feel chaotic, but what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our lives, we are in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717. or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Just announced, Family Life Radio's Night of Hope with Dr. Randy Carlson and inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Dr. Randy will share practical steps and timeless wisdom to help you face life's challenges with confidence. Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale.
When I needed rest.
Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, this is going to be a great night. It's coming up on June 6th, Friday night, Haven Church, Glendale, Arizona, Valley of the Sun, Phoenix area. As you heard, Jordan St. Cyr will be singing. He's going to be leading us in worship. I get a chance to really unpack some things that are going to help you to be intentional in your life. Maybe you're feeling a little overwhelmed in your marriage, your family, your own personal life, even the habits. We'll talk a little bit about this as well. And the power of developing an intentional life, you will be refreshed, you'll be reminded of God's intentional love for you, and you'll leave with some equipping help in the power of one thing for your life. Get your tickets, bring some other friends with you. This is a night, people say, well, who is this for? It's for married. If you're married, come. Singles, you come as well. If you're struggling or you're on top of the pile and things are going great, this is going to be a night where we're going to be refreshed and be in community with each other, and it'll be a great evening. June 6th, get your tickets today for the Night of Hope by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. All right, hon, I'm sorry we lost you there for a moment.
That's okay.
Go right ahead. What is it, the habit that's making a difference in your life?
For about 4 years ago, I drive different freeways here in Phoenix to go to Tempe, Mesa, Gilbert, and Chandler for the nursing company we work for, my wife and I. And so I started praying for the drivers and passengers of the cars on the freeways, any direction that I travel, east, west, north, south, for salvation for the drivers and their family and friends. And then also, I look up in the sky and the planes that go overhead, incoming or outgoing. I do the same for the crews and passengers, family and friends of them as well for salvation. I've been doing it for about 4 years now, and I do it during the week. So I cover about 360 miles a week. So that's a lot of praying that I do. And I just started doing it. I thought, well, this would be something I could do for you, Lord. And I like doing it. And, one of these days, I hope to see the results of my works from the Lord, and it'll be rewarding to Him, seeing that I like doing it, and it just gives me a good feeling that, hey, I've done something for Him on a daily basis.
How has that changed your attitude about traffic, about people, about just your day, about you? What has it done for you?
It helps me understand people better, because a lot of folks drive really fast on the freeways, or they don't use their signal, or they cut in front of you, and it's kind of scary. So it just increases my prayers for them to help, Lord, help them, because they need you a lot because of their driving habits, or they don't think when they're signaling. Or they just drive so fast on the freeway they have to be there first, and it's like, be there first for what?
Exactly.
Kind of scary.
Hey, listen, this is something that you're doing. You're doing something, Hunt, that's changing spiritually. You don't know. You see the impact in people's life. We never know. Maybe until heaven, somebody's going to say, I don't know, I was driving down the road in Phoenix, and I just really sensed the presence of God in my life, and I got involved in a church, and God came into my life, and it changed my life and my marriage and my family. I don't know who was praying for me, but somebody. It was probably Hunt. But there's another avenue here, too, another part of this, that Hunt changed his own life, because, come on now, we've all been driving down the road. If you're driving in a big city like Phoenix, hello, been there many times. We were driving through Los Angeles just last week, my wife and I. And there's some people, I mean, going in and out, and it's pretty overwhelming. And you could say, how in the world did that guy do that? Why are they doing that? What are they thinking? And spending the moment to say, hey, pray for them, for their safety, and that they come to the Lord if they don't know Him. Hey, listen, we're talking, thank you, Hunt, for that. We're talking now about tiny things. You know, the research is very clear about the idea of tiny habits. we talk about the power of one thing. When you start with minimal version of your desired habit, it'll make it easier and sustainable. And maybe you're not one that feels like, hey, I can be an evangelist and stand on the corner and talk to people, but I can drive down the road and as I see someone drive by, hey, Lord, reach that person, touch that person. That's something we all can do. There's an idea. We're talking about habits that transform our attitude, our life, and our day. That's a powerful thing. All right, let's get, I think we got Norma. Norma, you're next. You only got a minute or so, but welcome to the show today. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm in a nursing home. I'm recovering from brain surgery, and it's good to talk to you. Your show's great. It's really inspiring.
Well, thank you. What are habits helping you as you're in this recovery and this next stage of your life?
Prayer more than anything, and listening to all the positive stuff on the radio on this show, and also I watch a Christian channel on TV, and I listen to somebody called David Jeremiah, and he's got a good Bible study.
Absolutely.
And all those positive thoughts, you know, when I'm dwelling on positive thoughts, it makes me want to trust God, and I have peace in my heart and joy.
Amen. How's your recovery coming, Norma?
Good. I'm seeing out of my eye again, and I'm learning how to learn to walk again. They got the tumor out of my brain, and it's been kind of a slow process, but I feel that God is healing me, and I'm not the person I was before. I used to work an 80-hour work week as a home health aide, and I also taught people chemistry that were pre-nursing, and, you know, I'm not doing all the things, and I was a gardener, and those things I physically have had to accept where I'm at right now, and I'm not physically the same person, but I've been able to form friendships in the nursing home, and there's one guy, several people I pray with, and I've been able to encourage one woman, giving her confidence. She wants to maybe go into the ministry, and then there's a guy here who's Muslim, and we talk about the Bible all the time.
That's powerful. Hey, Norma, got to run out of time, but listen, wherever you are, whatever state you're in right now, in a nursing home, prison, on the streets, young, old, you can develop habits of sharing Jesus with someone and loving them in His name. Norma, thank you. And I appreciate the reminder, the encouragement of how this Christian radio station and network is making a difference in people's lives, and that's made possible because of all the prayer and support of people like you. Check out our upcoming Hope Night in Phoenix. Get your tickets early. Go to theintentionallife.com. We'll see you next time. Don't go away.